Thank you, Jock. I think that's just really a wake-up call for the church to think what we were called for. And I want to ask the question, while worshiping earlier, Saskia mentioned the word freedom. But what is freedom? Do you know the funny thing? If you ask the Church of the West what is freedom, the answer will be a lot different from us than it will be from the persecuted church. Because you see, for us, I think freedom is having the choice to choose where we want to live, the way we want to live, all those kind of things. But if God talks about freedom, the freedom He gave us, it's the freedom to choose to follow Him. It's the freedom to go to prison for His kingdom's sake. It's the freedom to die for His sake. That's what freedom is. So often we think freedom is being in the open, being able to do what we want to do, but it's actually the freedom to choose whether we want to lay down our lives or not. And I want to, it's just one scripture I want to share with you in the Old Testament, and it's about Joseph. Now, we all know, I believe, know the story of Joseph. Joseph was captured by his brothers. They wanted to kill him, but what they did is they sold him as a slave. So he went to Egypt. And in Egypt, he worked in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife came on to him. But he rejected her. And because of that, he got locked up. Because she turned around and said, no, he was the one that came on to her. So he got locked up for years. And he didn't do anything wrong. So I just want to read this. It's four verses. Genesis 39 from verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge with all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. So I want to ask the question, if you get sent to prison, what will your prayer be? Because you see, a lot of times, I think, if we think about this kind of things, we get it all wrong. Because we think it's all about our comfort. And we think that God is supposed to help us to get back to that place of comfort. But here we see Joseph in prison, and two times it says there that God was with him. So God didn't release him out of prison. God was with him in prison, helping him to go through that times. And I think that's a different picture than what we've got in mind for our lives, isn't it? Because if the option is there of you might be going to prison, won't we all pray, Lord, keep me out of prison? Or will we pray, Lord, let your will be done? Lord, if it's your plan to put me in prison and to use me there, Lord, I'm willing to go. Although I didn't do anything wrong, will that be your prayer? That's freedom. That's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to a place where you are willing to go and to be persecuted for Him. But also I know there's a lot of Christians that don't have that choice. When they get to that point of deciding whether they want to invite Jesus into their lives, they realize today might be my last day. Today may be the last day of my family, for my family, because of a decision I make to to follow Jesus. And if we sing a song where we say, Lord, it's all about you. Lord, nothing else matters. Lord, you are enough. I can tell you the meaning of that word is a lot different to us than it is to the persecuted church. And something else I just want to share with you that I found quite interesting during the week. I looked into this. I wondered, you know, how did the gospel got out of Jerusalem? You know, because Jesus, he got crucified, so he died. He stood up out of the grave. He went to heaven. We know that the disciples, they received the Holy Spirit and they started to preach. And what happened, I believe, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and started to preach in Jerusalem, the Church of Acts happened because of that. So a lot of us, if we go to the Bible and we go read the book of Acts, it's all about that church. And we read the stories where we see, but in the Church of Acts, just how amazing it was. It was thousands of people came to the church daily. We see that people chose to share everything they had. They shared it with each other. So what they did is, some of them sold their properties and stuff, and they gave it to the apostles and to the disciples, and it was divided so that everyone could have something. Now, if I think about it, that's just an amazing picture of the church, isn't it? And if I think about it, sometimes I think, yes, it would have been amazing to be part of the church of Acts. I'm glad someone is excited about it. But do you know, while that was going on, that church was also persecuted? Do you know, while this church of Acts, what we read about it in the Bible, and while it was going on, while this church was growing by its thousands daily, most of the disciples were killed because of their faith in Christ? Did you know that? Do you know that it's in this same time that Saul, we know him as Paul, but where Saul was on the road of Damascus, where Jesus, he had that encounter with Jesus, and he gave his life to him. It was in that same time. You see, most of what we read in the Bible of the Church of Acts and a couple of things after that happened just after Jesus got raised from the dead, and just before Jerusalem was conquered. Now, Jerusalem was conquered in 70 after Christ. What happened actually in 68 after Christ, 68 years after Christ, the Romans came in and they surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Now, they did war in that time, most of the times, is the city walls was quite strong. And it was difficult for people from the outside to come into the city. So what they did during that time is they surround the city. They allow the people in the city to starve to death. Because they can't go out and no one comes in. And the fields for their food wasn't in the city. It wasn't in the city walls. It was on the outside. So if the Romans came and they surrounded the city, everyone in the city knew it's just a matter of time. It's possible that there's not ever going to be a battle between us and the guys on the outside. But in the end, we'll all die. And if you've went to Jerusalem, I remember under the city, there's this, I don't know what to call it, like reservoirs. Underneath the city, David built it, where they stored up water four times of war. And that carried them a lot of months, for 2 years, basically. But then I started to wonder, so if this is what happened, remember the Church of Acts was in Jerusalem, and that gospel had to go out to the world. But now the city is surrounded in 68 after Christ, In 70 after Christ, the Romans, it was possible for them to break through. On the one side, they came into the city. And they killed, during that time, about 1.1 million people. Only 100,000 were saved. And they were sold as slaves and sent to Africa. That's what happened there. Interesting thing is, we all know that the temple was also burned down when that happened. It burned down by accident. Because you see, the funny thing is, the Romans had a plan to use that as a temple for them and their gods. But during all that rage that went on, some of the soldiers, they put it alight. And this one guy, Titus, was leading this army into Jerusalem. And what he did is, when he walked in and he saw that the temple is burning, he told the soldiers to take out the fires. And he told the soldiers, the next one that put his hand to this temple, I will kill personally. You can read that in, not in the Bible, but that's in some history books. But because of all that rage that went on, he wasn't able to stop it. And the temple burned down. But the question is, where was the Christians through all of this? And something I found quite interesting is, I found the writings of, I need to read this guy's name, Eusebius Pamphili, also known as Eusebius of Caesarea. He was a Roman historian who was born in Palestine in 263 years after Christ. Now, the Christians weren't there when this all happened. Because you see, they left in 66 after Christ. Only 2 years before the city was surrounded, they left. But what I want you to hear is, the English for me, I don't know, maybe not for you, but for me this English is quite funny, but I want you to hear what he wrote here. Remember, he's a Roman historian, and he was born 200 years after that. So for him, it was quite easy to find out what exactly happened and that kind of stuff. He wrote, the whole body, however, of the church at Jerusalem, having been commanded by a divine revelation given to men of approved piety, there before the war, removed from the city and dwelt in a certain town beyond the Jordan called Pella. The church moved 2 years before that. But you know what's what's the interesting thing about this Church of Acts? When some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples is, he said, go into all the world and to make people his disciples and to baptize them. And when he said that, he didn't mean that only to the couple of disciples that were standing in front of him at that stage. You know, that words is also, was also for the Church of Acts. And that words is also for the church in the West of today. But the thing is, they stayed in Jerusalem. After hearing that, they stayed in Jerusalem for another 66 years. They weren't called to stay. They were called to go. And it took a war to get them to that place, to move out of that comfort of Jerusalem. And the question I want to ask today, what's it going to take to move us out of our comfort? Because you see, the thing in the end of the day is, God is not there for our comfort. We are there for His kingdom. And for His kingdom to come in your life and in my life, there's some things we need to let go. And I see this, and Jock, thanks for being here. I just see this as a wake-up call to the church. I really believe that what God wants to do is just making us see, listen, while we've got the freedom to be here, to choose whether we want to come to church this morning or we're going to sleep late, we're going to drive out somewhere, we're coming to church, that kind of thing. While we've got the freedom to do that, part of this body is dying for Christ. And I really believe that God is calling us to a place where we can also say, but if part of this body hurts, we all hurt. And we can stand up and choose to move out of that comfort place as we are in. And I don't think that God is calling all of us to Iraq today. I don't think God is calling all of us today to go somewhere. But I know God is calling all of us out of our comfort. And for some of us, your calling will be to make a difference in your home, maybe in the homes of your neighbors. For some of us, that calling is for people in Windhoek. But for some of us, that calling is for places further than Windhoek. For some of us, that calling is for places outside of the borders of this country. And the person that's willing to go to Iraq or that kind of places isn't more important than the person going out into a mall in Namibia in Windhoek and share with Jesus with that person there. The church out there is not more than important than the church in here. You know, while other people is in other places, in difficult places, what they need is our prayers. I did a couple of missions myself, and looking back at that, today there's churches standing in the places where we've been. Not only because we've been there, but because there was Christians willing to live there, because some Christians were willing to go, and because other Christians was willing to pray for them, for us, while we were going. And not one of those persons is more important than the other one. But all of them standing together is the thing that brings the fruit in the end of the day. And that's why it's so important for us to get into that place that God is calling us for. And one thing all of us can do is to pray. Is to pray for the persecuted church and to pray for the people willing to go. Next year, we've got, almost want to call it like a lot of things on our agenda for next year. Because from next year onwards, what we're going to do is we're going to have a local outreach every month. We're going to have two national outreaches. They'll both be in Rundu. We'll do an international outreach as well next year. But also with Mercy Ministry, we'll get involved in things in the city of Windhoek. And what each of us need to do is we need to ask, Lord, where do you want me in all of this? Because you see, we're not going to be a church that's going to come together on every Sunday and just every Sunday pray for people that's out there. We're going to be a church that's going to be out there. And yes, some of us maybe won't go. But God is calling each of us to make a difference in this and to let His kingdom come. But to let His kingdom come, we, like I said earlier, we need to move out of that places of comfort. And moving out of that means that God is calling us to move into places of discomfort, where we give up things, where things is not always, you know, according to what I would have preferred to do, but where we are willing to sacrifice for His name's sake. So what we're just going to do this morning is we're going to split up into little groups of four, and we're going to pray for the persecuted church. And while we're in that groups, a little bit later on, we'll give out the communion and have communion in that little groups. So, with in mind what Jacques shared with us, and I know there's a lot of stories like that. There's a lot of people out there that's really in that place where they need God's strength. It's impossible for them to carry on if God don't give them strength. And you're in a position today to pray for God to give them that strength. And I really believe that God answers our prayers. I know that Stephen Lunga, for instance, what he said is on the night he got saved, they went to kill all the people in that church and so on. But he got saved that night. And I think like 20 years later, he shared the story with us. Something like 20 years later, one evening, he was sharing his testimony in a church. And two old ladies came to the front. And they asked him, what was the date of that evening you got saved, what was the date? And he told them, this is the date. It was this evening in a tent in Zimbabwe. And the one lady opened up the back of a Bible and she said, but can you read what's standing here in the back? Can you read what I wrote here in my Bible 20 years ago? And it said there, Lord, tonight we pray for a terrorist in a tent in Zimbabwe to get saved. He didn't know about her, but God chose to reveal it to him. And today you, I don't want to say you're that old lady, but today you're in the same position as that old lady. You're in that place where somewhere, someone is crying out to God. And prayer really, there's really power in prayer. And God answers our prayers. So when we pray, we don't just pray, Lord, you know, the church out there, be with him. But really trust God to even give you a word, to even open your eyes to know about people out there. And to pray for strength for the church out there. So if you can just divide yourself into groups of about 4 people, it would be great. And then afterwards we'll do the communion. Thank you.